Welcome back to the Mind of Monty podcast with your hosts, Monty G and Imo. Today, we've got a great show packed for you. We're going to predict all of the wrestling happening on this beautiful Labor Day weekend. We've got Clash at the Castle, Worlds Collide, and All Out, as well as some Moe's Marbles. Let's get into it, I guess. Yeah, how you feeling today?
I'm indifferent. I'm doing okay. You know, like you said, a lot of wrestling going on this weekend. I do want to say it's no pure speculation. You left that off, but I want to make sure I let everybody know that if it's anything that's big speculation-wise that I missed, I'm probably just going to miss it this week because, like you said, just so much stuff when it comes to predicting what's going on this weekend. And I just want to get that out of the way. But also particulars like Triple H's big interview with Ariel Helwani, which has basically been everywhere since it dropped, I think, yesterday. So it's definitely some tidbits, some interesting things that he said that possibly, as time goes on, I will probably revisit. Maybe after I watch the entire interview, I may do more on that next week because I don't necessarily think that's time sensitive, especially in his new position. Except the Logan Paul one because I didn't go to that one, but any interview that Hunter does now since he's in this position, it's going to be really interesting because Vince McMahon, especially over the years, because he didn't have the best reputation with the media. And while I was growing up, it wasn't really taken that seriously in the media. Professional wrestling wasn't. So Vince never really did these. Like,
unless he was trying to like damage control,
and if so, even when he did do it, yeah, not even just damage control, he's promoting something. It usually had some type of motive within it, you know. Even with the E60 back in the day about him, that might have been like one of the only things that really started to give you insight into the man, and that was like a little documentary that was done by ESPN. And but yeah, so he didn't necessarily do a lot of these you didn't really get a chance to get his thoughts on things or his insight on the current. Like, they even had, like, Ariel asked him about AEW. He asked him about talent that's available, you know. So you never really got that type of viewpoint from someone who was head of creative of WWE before. So
that's true. Yeah.
It's very interesting stuff there, but I definitely wanted to touch on it and highlight it because I didn't want people to think I was completely unaware. But let's get right into it. Let's go into these cards because, like I said, I don't want to spend too much time talking about all of them, but just based on the sheer amount of matches, that's going to be hard to do.
All right, let's kick it off with Clash at the Castle. We've got Edge and Rey Mysterio versus The Judgment Day. Who do you got?
Well, that's the only thing. Thanks for that build-up. Very, very anticlimactic, to say the least.
Well, I have a feeling that Dom is going to turn on his parents.
It's not a feeling.
So
it's guaranteed. Not a feeling. It's obvious. It's been waited on by many at this point too long. He won't hit Rhea Ripley at all with the he just, after all the things she's done, he couldn't even make anyone think he had a shot at hitting her. So, yeah, man. I don't think it's just Stockholm Syndrome either. I think full-fledged going to turn on Ray. He's not the most convincing heel in the world so far, but you can just see already that it's going to happen. So I think I'm going against my word. I don't like going for the Judgment Day, especially after what Vince did to him, but maybe on the trips. And I think we've seen in the last few weeks with Finn picking up victories, and even though Priest lost the match against Edge, he still was in the main event in Canada against Edge. So you can already see, and then don't even start on Rhea. Rhea this entire time has been untouchable, it seems like. So, yeah, man, I think Judgment Day is due for this victory. And Rey Mysterio's, you know, we talked about Prince of Paper Mysterio for all our long-time listeners.
In the beginning.
I told you guys a long time ago that Dominic has to take his father's mask. Hopefully, don't have to happen this time, like right now, of course, but down the line, maybe even at Mania, we end up getting, ooh, Dominic versus Mysterio mask. You know, you take the mask, And I don't know, Dominic got to shave that stupid mullet or something. I don't know. Something like that.
Don't put Match that as a stipulation because I will vote. I swear. Anyway. I will be so against Dominic if that's the stipulation. Like, he needs to get that crap off his head. Anyway. But
Judgment Day.
I agree. This is one instance where I agree. Next up, we've got Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle. This feud has been blowing up all over the internet since Monday. And Seth said that scathing promo about Matt not having access to his children and being divorced. And then all of the other stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. Honestly, I'm looking at the way I'm booking this and... man, my card probably won't. I'm telling you guys now, probably won't go this way. Cause I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I'm very heel heavy. You guys really will see in a second. So some of this is bound to change, right? Because you got to give them something positive. But we'll see.
But
I know how it goes. That's in wrestling. That's usually how it happens. At least one or two feel good moments, especially specifically here. Because I honestly, I'm picking Seth still to win this thing because I don't know. I think Seth needs it. Not necessarily more than Riddle because Riddle probably, you can make a case Riddle needs it more. He's just coming off the little injury thing and even though it was all simulated or whatever. But
and Randy left him.
Well, Randy's hurt. So, Randy you know. Left
him. He abandoned Matthew. Look what not having guidance has done for his character.
I think it's actually helped him. He's like everywhere they went so far, they screamed for Riddle as if, yeah, no. The only people who think he's an asshole is the people who know him backstage. Yeah, people who taking stuff that's not on television. Because on television, you would think Riddle is
like his face.
Top 10 babyface, top 5 babyface in the company. Well, probably 5 babyface. Man, he's fighting Roman. You heard that. If you watch that match. Yeah, they wanted Roman to lose that night to Riddle, believe it or not. But anyway, the point is, everyone's not you. Everyone don't have the viewpoint of you when it comes to Riddle. But the point I'm making about this is that he, in this situation, you cannot let your personal biases get in the way of my prediction.
All of my predictions are clouded by personal bias.
I'm not talking about your prediction right now, though. I'm trying to explain mine.
Oh, go ahead.
You
go
said
ahead.
It in interjecting Miani, that you hate
Miani,
Riddle.
Miani.
I get that you hate Riddle, but I'm pointing out that there are great cases for him to actually win this match because you can continue the feud even if he wins. Like, I was under the understanding that to make this a long thing because I feel like Seth is probably going to bother him until Randy or Cody comes back, most likely. Or they're probably going to be in a situation until then. So, if that's the case, Riddle can definitely win the match and then just get, like, attacked afterwards for Seth's sake. But I'm still going with Seth to win this one because I feel like you can continue it that way also. So I just wanted to make that point, though, because I didn't think about that until much later that, you know what, you can make the case for Riddle winning this, specifically the way I'm booking this. But we can keep going.
Yeah, I know I just said all of that dislike about him, but I actually got him to win this because – he has to win after Seth brought up.
Look how nefarious this is.
It's not nefarious. There is no subterfuge.
That's all this is.
I actually dislike
him.
You
down him this whole time just to say he's going to win.
Wow. I can like a person and know that they're not going to win this. And I just have a feeling Seth isn't going to win this.
I just don't think he needs to keep losing. He lost 3 times to Cody. Those made sense. That's all. He hasn't really had a match like really on a show that was a few, like on a main show, because they took SummerSlam away. So
they did
because
take
of the Riddle. So it's just part of me felt like he was gonna win at SummerSlam, and I think he'll win here. But hey,
we'll see.
I just gave you the argument for the other side. So
I know you did my job for me. Next up, we've got the Intercontinental Championship. We've got
just say it, Gunther.
Versus Sheamus.
You keep calling him Walter.
Okay.
You want to. It doesn't matter. I know what you're talking about.
I don't like that word.
Gunther is winning.
I want Sheamus to win.
A lot of people want a lot of things, but the only thing I can tell you that I want from this match is them to beat the hell out of it, and that's the only, beat the hell out of each other, and that's the only thing that's guaranteed here. they're gonna beat the hell. It's gonna be chops. It's gonna they both of them might be red. Like Sheamus is gonna, his chest is gonna look crazy. I can't wait to see that because he got, you know, the pale skin. It's about to be red because Walter's about to chop the hell out of him. Sheamus is already really stiff. This is gonna be really fun to watch. Physical, a Donnybrook, if you would.
Let's not do that again. I think I'm picking Sheamus because like one title has to change hands, right? Right.
I mean, all right. Who says it won't? Other title matches.
I'm picking this one to be the one to change hands.
No way. Go ahead.
Because I mean they're in Europe. So? Gunther has no ties there.
I'm about to say he's Austrian.
Gunther has no ties.
Just because Sheamus from Ireland, who gives a shit? Stop. That's the reason why they get to see Sheamus, because he's from Europe.
If I have Drew losing, I have to put the other one over. I can't. It's not balanced. It's not balanced if I don't.
What a spoil sport. But anyway, keep going.
I know, right?
What's next?
Spoiler coming up soon. Then we've got Bayley, Dakota Kai, Io Sky versus Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa.
Unfortunately, I hope it's not Asuka, but I don't see the baby faces.
Alexa can take that pin.
I would like to say it's automatic, but that she would, but I can't even guarantee that because Asuka definitely very, very well could be the one to take it. I think again though, maybe even through nefarious tactics, Bayley pins Bianca. And I think that can set up a nice little reintroduction to that feud for the title.
For the Raw
unless
title.
It's too early in their eyes, but I don't. Why not? And if not, if you don't want to do that, let EO pin Oscar and start something there if you want to. Either way it goes, I just pointed out, Sky and Kai and Bayley is who I'm picking to win.
I agree. I've got no complaints on that. Next up, SmackDown Women's Championship, Liv Morgan versus Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, everything about this angle, even on the most recent, especially hell on the most recent episode when they kind of did the promos and Liv basically straight face, I'm not going to tap out and you know what? I'm going to take your arm. I'm going to break your arm, which is definitely a shift because Liv, hell, I don't think Liv has ever won a match with submission.
No.
Ever. So, it'll be very, very interesting to see how that plays out. She's definitely going to get tortured and get put in situations where you're going to probably feel sorry for her throughout the match because I know what Shayna's offense is all about. And I think Liv is going to find a way to come back, roll up. Hell, even if it ended up being another weird finish, I still would – either way it goes, I feel like long as Liv Morgan survives as champion, then I think this is a success. If she does not – even though I love Shayna – I still have to kind of be like, the trips. This is basically still the same thing. Even though she may have survived a little bit longer than Nikki Ash, it's basically the same thing. You didn't do this, but a Money in the Bank winner who's a woman wins the championship and nothing comes of the ring.
Yeah.
Even if it leads to us getting Shayna on top. But again, I think, even the people who want Ronda and Shayna to meet, it's not going to happen right now like that. I don't think it wouldn't be like automatically after Shayna would win. It's going to take time. They're obviously slow building that, whether it is for Ronda and Shayna to become a team down the line or whether it is for them to butt heads and actually, you know, have a feud. So I think we just got to give all that time for all the people who want that to happen. But Liv Morgan retaining just seemed like the right choice.
I agree, and I'm going to say this, and then it's going to contradict me saying that Liv is going to win, but her character has progressed from being, like, just psychotic and kind of crazy to just delusional. Now she's just delusional now.
Who that?
Liv,
okay.
Like, I'm not saying she's not going to win, because like I said, I do have her to win, but she has to be delusional to think that she is going to break Shayna's arm. Like, You can't be okay in the head if you think that's how that's gonna go. If that's how, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's why I say she'll probably survive. Now they definitely just said straight up, you know, usually when a babyface say something like that, a submission probably will have something to do with the finish. But it's just really, like you said, it's really tough for me to believe that. But hey, it'll be something, won't it? If she does pull it off, it'll be something.
It will. Okay, last up, the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match. We've got Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, the head of the table.
God mode.
Yeah. What was the other one?
Undisputed Heavyweight Champion.
There's another one.
It's probably something else, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The one, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre, the Scottish psychopath?
Not anymore. It's like the... I don't know what he is now. Is he a superhero now? Superman? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He's a warrior. Scottish warrior. Carries the big sword. You know, kilt sometimes. You know, whatever.
Roars.
Big absolute beast. Burly, yeah. Let's just say it that way. A beast.
Cat father.
I guess I can't say that.
Cat father.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Too many nicknames as it is. The yeah. Chosen One back in the day.
Oh,
there
yeah.
you go. That's another one.
That's a good one.
Got a lot of them.
All right. Who you got?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sticking with Roman Reigns. I've made a lot of... I've played this scenario out multiple times, and I can see plenty of ways for Drew McIntyre to come out of this as champion, in all honesty. But it's just, again... I really think that having both belts on the line here for Roman in this situation really makes it hard for me to see Roman still losing it. Like I said, maybe it's 2 years of programming. Maybe it's just me wanting to stick to old school booking because I'm used to kind of how Vince would do this with where the babyface would end up standing tall on the go home show and then lose or not. You know, whoever's standing tall on the go home show is probably not going to win the main event or whatever, usually.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, I think separating the titles and then Drew becoming world champion would be a more satisfactory conclusion. But honestly, I know I'm speaking from my perspective. I know the people that's over there, you know, in Wales, and I know the people who are going to be at those shows. It's going to definitely be hard to really pull this off without... I think they have to do it in a certain type of way because if it's done the wrong way... the people over there would not be happy. I don't necessarily know how it's going to go. I can't really predict that much, but the only thing I say is that Roman will walk out still your champion. And maybe, hell, I could be wrong on my prediction, but still get the result. As, like, for example, Roman could lose the match, but still be champion.
Mm.
So it doesn't, it wouldn't work for me. It wouldn't work for me, but it wouldn't work for my prediction, but it would still keep my the result that I think. It's probably the most likely result coming out of this. But, hey, we will see. Who do you have? Do you differ? You already mentioned
why
are you picking Roman?
I'm picking Roman, one, because I old school booking. And, two, I agree. I personally feel like they need to separate these titles and Clash at the Castle. God damn it. Clash at the Castle is not going to be the place where they separate them. Yeah. I don't want to say this, like, lately these premium live events have just been that, premium live events. There has not been any dramatics to them, which makes me think that maybe this one will be different, but my gut tells me it won't be different. So.
Okay. Now that you say that, I do have to ask you, like, if it hasn't been no dramatic, what the hell is flipping the ring?
No.
Okay, all right, okay.
I don't mean dramatics as in, like, it's not been entertaining. I mean dramatics as in, like, you know how you go to a live event, a live show, and it's fun, but it's not, the outcome isn't, the champion is always going to win, or the babyface is always going to win.
Oh, okay, well, I don't think that's going to, I don't know. I see what you're saying, but those were glorified house shows. So what you're talking about will piss everybody off. What you're talking about will piss everybody off.
I'm sure.
Nobody over there wants that because that's the problem. That's the reason why this was so different because they've done shows over there like Insurrection back in the days, but those were glorified house shows. They don't count. So
I'm just saying some of their
they're comparing this to SummerSlam 92.
Some of their pay-per-views to date have been
SummerSlam. Could be wrong.
Go premium ahead. Live events.
Okay, if all right, if that, but I see at least I do understand at least your thought process. I don't agree, but I understand your thought process.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. I don't, like I said, it's going to be a crazy experience watching Clash. Because it's about to be on a few hours, if not on in an hour from when we're recording this. Yeah. So it's very, 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 very interesting. But, you know, I have plenty of time to watch it and get grasp of what's going on. What I might not have plenty of time for is to watch everything. So let's get on with the rest of this, because it's literally one of those weekends, guys.
Yep, yep. So Sunday we've got Worlds Collide, a lot of unification of the NXT UK Championships. The first match, however, is not that case. We've got Carmelo Hayes versus Ricochet. Love their Twitter banter. Anything you think exciting going to happen?
I mean, the match is going to be exciting. I think we can guarantee that.
I mean, like, they're Trick Williams. Is Trick going to get involved? Is Trick hurt? I haven't seen him in a while.
Not too many matches he won't get involved. And he's definitely been around.
Oh.
He's not hurt. He's been actually his most active. You know, doing rounds, matches with people and stuff. Like, yeah, no. He's been active. And, he was the reason why he retained the last time he fought. He defended his belt. Was partly due to Trick, I think, when he fought the former Fabian Aichner. Vinci. So we'll see what happens. Melo is winning, though. I don't think Ricochet is going to be the North American champion again. I think the A champion is going to retain, and I don't hopefully after this, man, not too long from now, he will lose the A championship so he can become a contender for the world title. But hey, he doesn't even have to do that. He can go to WWE, he can go to the main roster just off this off these two North American title reigns. Anyway, I'm done
Hyping
my guy, because he's by far the best part of 2.0. So him and Ricochet is going to kill it. It's the reason why they're putting him in there with Ricochet.
I agree. I also got Melo to win this. No further explanation needed on that one. Just biased. The next match is the Creed Brothers versus Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs. His name is weird. Why you got two last names? Versus
Brooks Jensen. Oh, I said Brooks and Jensen. It just shows how what I know about them. I do that all the time.
It's Jensen
bad.
And Briggs.
It doesn't matter.
Versus Gallus versus Pretty Deadly for the Unified NXT UK Championship.
Anybody but Briggs, Jensen, whatever name you want to give them. Anybody but Briggs and Jensen. I think it's Briggs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the names.
Yeah. Anybody but them.
They need a team name. I'm sick of saying all that. So who you got?
Like I said, you go down the list, Pretty Deadly would be great, but they haven't necessarily been portrayed as someone who's going to come out of this on top. So it's really out of Gallus and the Creeds. And, you know, the Creeds is probably the safe bet, because they're already, you know, they're young and they're already on top of NXT. And they're definitely the future. But you know what? I think, even though I can say the same maybe for like Gallus in time, but I think Gallus probably is guaranteed to spend a little bit more time in NXT going forward. And the Creed probably is too, but I don't know. I just think maybe it's time to do something new. I'm going Gallus boys on top. It'll be nice, especially since I don't necessarily know how many of these scenarios NXT UK is actually going to win. I think the tag team belts one is a good one to, you know, to do it for, especially with Gallus.
I understand that. I'm going to put a disclaimer here. I don't know half of these people, but I do know Pretty Deadly, and I actually like them. So I'm going to go with them just off of who I know. Don't put any stock in that. Next up, we've got, I hate her name, Katana Chance and Kaden Carter versus Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H.
You got to just say Chance and Carter, man. Just say Chance and Carter.
For the NXT Women's Tag Team titles.
Yeah, Chance and Carter retain. It's their first defense. And even though it's against the threats that are Doudrop and Nikki, and even though I had things suggested to me about her, maybe both of them, like maybe her showing up as Piper and then Nikki showing up as Nikki Cross, because that's who she was in her NXT UK days. And, you know, along with Piper, of course. So, you know, that'll be awesome. Even if it's for one night only, it'll be awesome. But I still don't think they're going to win the tag title.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. Just leave it there.
Then we got Mandy Rose versus Meiko Satomura versus Blair Davenport for the unification of the NXT and NXT UK Women's Championships.
So, again, I'm on a limb here, seeming like I wanted NXT UK. I think I actually did them pretty even here. Now that I look at the way I booked this, I did NXT UK even because I thought I really wanted NXT UK to stand tall in some of these in there. They're already getting their brand taken away, you know? So,
yeah. And then it would
suck for them to all just get usurped.
And then it would show like they're actually taking integrating that division into the NXT division.
Yeah. And I think the two ways you do that in this match is through Blair Davenport and through Meiko Satomura. I think either or you're doing the right thing. It's no offense to Mandy. She's been champion a long time, and she's basically ran out of contenders in her own show. So it would make sense to, if you want to keep her, she would have like one or two, or at least like possibly more, because I don't know who all are starting to debut from UK. Possibly more contenders now. So I can understand maybe wanting to stick with her and doing that. But honestly, in my opinion, the women's division needs something fresh, a new leader. And we've had a heel on top for so long. And so that's the only reason why I'm going against Blair here. I think we go with Meiko Satomura, the final boss, allow her to continue her run as a great champion. And she doesn't have to even be champion that long, because I honestly believe Meiko, if they want her on the main roster, she's debut ready, like, quickly. She could have been on the roster by now. And, you know, stand tall against Asuka and other great, Bayley, all of them, honestly, because she's more tenured than pretty much all of them. She was in WCW. Like, Meiko Satomura is nobody to play with. So I think she'll be a great figurehead to be on top of the division going forward until they're ready to do it. And I think Mandy also, now, maybe with toxic attraction injury, that could stifle things, but I think Mandy is also probably closer to the main roster than she is to continuing her run down NXT. But I don't know. We'll see. But I don't necessarily think – I think she's run her course. She's established herself in this new role. And I think if you bring Toxic Attraction's Mandy Rose to the main roster, it'll liven up the women's division, specifically probably SmackDown right now. But I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I just think she'll be great. So I don't know if that's going to happen now after this or anything, but I'm still going Meiko coming out as champion. I'm fine with being wrong there. That was my on a limb type of choice.
Yeah. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to go with Blair Davenport. I feel like they want to have Blair. They want Blair to become a champion.
Yeah, you can make the case she would already be UK champion without her injury. Yeah, so, yeah.
If she didn't get injured. So that and I think we need a if we got Chance and Carter as the tag team champions and they're up there baby facing it up, I feel like they need a strong heel presence in the women's division. And Mandy's leaving, so Blair it is for me. Last up, we've got Bron Breakker and Tyler Bate for the unification of the NXT and NXT UK championships.
Yeah, this was tough because I love Tyler Bate. He's awesome. He's young. He's a beast. But
Braun is younger.
And I think, yeah, he is. And I think in this situation, Tyler's going to shine, especially a bigger guy, stronger guy, powerful guy like Breakker. Bate is going to surprise a lot of people with his output. So I know what he can do, and I really like him. So I understand doing that. But I just didn't think WWE would pull the trigger. Even if I think Bron Breakker is close to going to the main roster, it's just, I don't know, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna go ahead and admit my true feelings. Anyone who's been listening long enough, or anyone who's been paying attention to my NXT updates, you know how I feel about Melo and Bron Breakker when it comes to being the guys in NXT. And I think that it would be a crucial mistake, in my opinion, for them to have them both down there on top of their games and never have a one-on-one feud or encounter.
I agree.
And I think Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes is where I want Bron Breakker to lose his belt and possibly go to the main roster or whatever happens after that, instead of being here against Tyler Bate. Even though it'd be a great moment and a great send-off in NXT UK to have their newly crowned one-time NXT champion, I guess, now.
Mm-hmm.
But he, his, you know, their only two-time, I think, NXT UK champion.
The first and the last.
Yeah, first and the last. Right, right. Exactly. In this situation. So I understand what it would mean to have Tyler there and have him win. I think it'll be awesome either way. But I just think they're probably going to go with Breaker to retain. And I'm, selfishly, I'm hoping down the line I get Melo versus Bron Breakker.
Okay. I'm also choosing Bron. I think we lie on the same side of justification with that. But I think it's going to be a good show. They kept it simple, as in match number, because I think the match quality is going to be good.
And they do.
That was not a dig at the next segment.
They're not calling it anymore, but this is a right around that usual takeover type of week.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he always, when they book takeovers, it was always like a nice sweet spot, 5 or 6 matches. And, you know, yeah, it wasn't one of those long trotting shows. But like you said, going into that, we have a 15 match card to talk about.
So Sunday is capped with All Out. AEW's All Out. They have a 15 match affair.
Luckily, I'm going to rush through most of these. So okay. I'm going to try. Let's see how long rushing takes.
Okay. I just have to say, though, how long was this indefinite suspension for Eddie Kingston to be facing Ishii? Was it like a week? 2 weeks?
I think it was something like that. Yeah. Just like he missed 1 week of TV, really. Okay. And it wasn't that long after they booked. They pretty much said that they'd be doing this. And if you kind of look at even the stuff with Sammy that just got added to the actual All Out card, it's all just seems like, we had to punish these two, let's separate these kids. You know what it feels like?
It feels like let's separate y'all. Go to your respective corners.
Exactly.
But to start off the show, the pre-show match, we've got Tomohiro Ishii versus Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, but I don't see Ishii. It's going to be old school, too, by the way, because Eddie Kingston's a big fan of Akiyama and old school, just strong style Japanese wrestling. So him and Ishii is probably going to beat the hell out of each other. But it's a kickoff match, and I'm not expecting it. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, but I'm not expecting, classic length. Either. Yeah,
it's
classic
length. Long.
Right, right, right. It's not going to be terribly long either. So I think Eddie and Ishii will do fine, but Eddie's probably definitely going to go over here in this scenario. Even though it's the first time in a while people have seen Ishii since he popped up on that random rampage in AEW. It's going to be great for people to see him again in his element, of course, with somebody like Eddie, but Eddie's winning.
I concur. Oh, no, I don't concur. I want Ishii to win. Okay. I want Ishii to win because I feel like he has not gotten a win on TV, and I want him to get a win. He got to get something for this. And Eddie still needs to be punished, you know?
Okay. That's hilarious.
Ishii is the punisher.
Okay, I understand what you're trying to say, but Eddie's not losing that because of that. Not losing.
Ishii for the win. Then we've got Pac and Kip Sabian for the All-Atlantic Championship. Finally. God dang. Here you go.
It's not a finally. The All-Atlantic Championship has been defended like 3 or 4 times.
On Dark?
We'll never see it because he's doing it basically in Rare Pro, and they're re-airing it on Dark. So I guess that's the point of the belt. He's going to travel around with it, but most people who don't keep up with Dark probably don't even have a clue that he's defended it like twice or 3 times now.
I did not.
Before this Kip situation.
I did not have a clue.
I got Pac retaining, even though this is going to be Kip's basically his big comeback or whatever. I think this match would be good enough to remind us that Kip is alive and he's still pretty good at what
he
does. But he's not going to win. Yeah, he's not going to win the title. If so, that would be a really disappointing reign for Mr. Pac. Back, and not to go back here, I don't want to stay here too long, but when you mentioned that Kingston needs to be punished, I'm like, they've already punished Kingston enough. They wouldn't let him beat Jericho. Jericho.
That is separate punishment.
Trust me, because that angle should have, we all know how that angle was supposed to end.
Eddie been getting flipping at the mouth in these interviews. You saw him. That's why
That has nothing to do with
Fine. Tony got it out for him. So again, Ishii should win. Thank you for further solidifying my point.
I don't think I hear you at all, but whatever.
I think Pac is going to win. Again, it'll be disappointing if he didn't. We've got Hook versus... Hook's for the
winning.
FTW title? Okay. I ain't got nothing to say.
Hook's winning.
Okay, Hook is winning. Sorry, Angelo Parker. Hook is winning. We've got Tay Melo and Sammy Guevara versus Ruby Soho and Ortiz. This is a rematch from an episode. Was it Rampage? For the AAA World Mixed Tag Team Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a rematch from Rampage. It was good that time. I don't know. Now that you remind me, it was a damn rematch. I probably want to change my pick, in all honesty. But you mentioned since you say Eddie was the only, like, he got to be punished because he stepped over the line. Then that means Sammy needs to be rewarded. JAS wins. How about that?
I don't like that, but I was gonna go along the lines of they don't really have control over who gets to win the AAA.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking also. I don't know. I know Ortiz can go down there and wrestle, but I'm like why would they do that? Like, right. why would AAA care about this little angle you've been doing with them? They booked Sammy and Ty for a reason. So yes. I'm going with that.
If they wanted the titles to change hands, they would do it on their promotion.
And exactly. Another thing about that. It's not one of AAA is not one of these promotions that they own, that Tony owns. It's not like Ring of Honor. So
Yeah,
look at it that way.
It's just weird. This match didn't need to be here, but okay. Bryan Danielson versus Chris Jericho in a regular singles match.
I think it's about 5 matches too many on this damn card. Anyway, Danielson. Another match we didn't ask for. By the way, even though it'll be great because Danielson's in it, you know, and Jericho is solid enough to have another entertaining match, but. Nobody wanted this.
I obviously haven't been watching it. What is the build for this match being? Like, why are we doing
this? All that stuff, you see enough, because the Daniel Garcia stuff is basically why.
So they're fighting over custody of Daniel Garcia?
Kind of, but it's not necessarily have anything to do with it. It's more so their egos now. Because, like, I don't think Daniel has to make a decision based off whoever wins.
Oh.
Yet. Okay. So that's why I feel like it's another reason why nobody wanted this, because it's like I don't even think it's gonna solve the Garcia problem. If maybe he'll have some involvement, then it will solve the Garcia problem because he has to get in between it somehow. Which I'm pretty sure that's definitely gonna happen. The more I think about it, that's the only way this will be positive for me is if it solves the Garcia issue. And maybe gets Garcia away from Jericho or whatever. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't think Jericho's winning, though. Danielson has lost. Not only did he lose the thing to Garcia, Jericho, like, had made him pass out in the match not too long ago or whatever. So it's just like I think Danielson should get his victory back. He's been taking a loss. He's the only one in his group without a belt. So you at least let him beat Jericho. You couldn't give it to Kingston. You can at least do it for Danielson. That's literally my logic.
Okay. I got that. I'm going with Brian too, just because I don't feel like Jericho's ego needs to be stroked here.
I mean, Jericho wins most of the time.
I know.
He only loses the big blow-off match every now and then title match because he doesn't really necessarily win that one. But sometimes stuff like the Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
That's the only time he loses. So, yeah, no. Not that he needs to be a jobber or anything. I'm just saying.
No. His image is protected.
Yeah. A little too much, honestly.
Then we've got a fatal four-way for the interim AEW Women's World Championship. We've got Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Kairi Sheeta.
So sick of interim. I feel like we're going backwards in time if you do two of these decisions. Sheeta and Britt being those decisions. Even though I'm very worried that if my pick don't win, it's because they're probably going to go the safe route with Britt and give her another reign.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be even surprised. Like, I think I can convince anybody for multiple cases for why Britt will probably win this match. And I just don't think it would be the right time to do the Hayter thing. It'd be very, very Tony Khan if he does the Hayter thing here. Because I just feel, it'd be random what I'm trying to say. Very, very random because it's like, why would you do this moment of Hayter? Like, unless you're going to play it out the old school, like, Triple H Randy Orton way.
Yeah.
Like, Hayter earned it legitimately, and then Britt pretends to be happy for her.
But then it
gradually, yeah. Now, if you're doing it that way, then sure. And that might work out. But
all right, let me rant here for a minute. Who you picking?
I didn't get my pick. I'm going with Toni Storm, though, because I feel like it's the safest pick. here, and it's also a fresh thing. Like, haters there, but I don't know if they're gonna be ready to necessarily go there just because Thunder Rosa is out of the way. And I do think it's gonna take a little bit of time, because I don't, unless something overtly happens here that turns hater to a face, you see what I'm saying? I think you're gonna need time to convince people. Well, for her, when it comes to Tony, they automatically will probably like her. I don't know. I don't necessarily have the greatest defense for this, because, by the way, this match is just no build here.
But I'm going with Tony Storm. Earn their slot. Here?
They got placed in this match.
Okay, so here's
what
my
what the hell did you think was? What did you think? When did they have time?
I knew
they just announced Thunder Rosa was hurt the other week.
I knew they had. I had another week. They had a.
Oh no, they could have done it. I'm just saying when. Think about how they do things and think about, did they actually have the time to do it?
I know. This is my rant, okay? First of all, this is a mess. This whole interim women's... Thunder Rosa should have gave up that belt. And then we should have actually had... Like, they love tournaments, right? Y'all got all these women. Do a tournament. Actually make... And isn't Britt Baker...
That ain't go well the last time.
I know, but isn't Britt Baker the Owen lady... The Owen thing.
Yeah, but that's not. She haven't been carrying it around. So,
what was the point of that? So that was just a meaningless tournament.
Bragging rights for a while, I guess. And name dropping Owen.
Oh.
That's all I got for you.
Oh. And this is only the. Oh. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, man. That's why. Exactly. We don't have time to do this.
There's only two women's matches here. And. This is just problematic.
Yeah, it's only two women match here, and they're both built horribly. I'm not nothing to discuss there. They're both built terribly.
I don't want to talk about this. I had a whole rant, but I lost sales once you told me that they just got placed in this match. It ain't even based on these imaginary rankings anymore.
What all I saw was that I think Britt and Tony ended up. I mean, Hater and Britt talked best about Tony. I think Tony came out there. Hater jumped him. And then that's when Hikaru Shida came out there with the kendo stick and ran everybody out. And then next thing you know, they announced right there when everybody was there. Here goes your four competitors.
So Serena Deeb, all she had to do was just walk out there during that time period. She would have been put in
the way it was portrayed. Yeah,
that's fucked.
Any of them could have just walked out there.
Tony Storm is gonna win next. House of Black versus Darby Allin. I know House of Black ain't gonna win this. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed at that. But six-man tag match. Look, who
it's funny that you say that, because I did write Miro's team, but it was mostly because – it wasn't just because of that. It was just because I felt like it was hard for me to see them after the way Miro looked. I don't necessarily want him to lose here.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it. Like, well, Darby did beat Brody, and I'm like, well, okay, the House of Black actually needs this. Specifically with everything that you're hinting at, with the way you're talking, with the way you said, you know who's gonna win. So, but I don't necessarily think that means anything though, just because he's upset. Because
he's salty.
If anything, you would think it would actually go the opposite way. Like, if anything, you think he's not pleased. I got him under contract. We've already discussed it. He ain't going nowhere. So I might as well please him. I think it's not going to happen that way. I think they're still going to lose this match. And Miro is going to win whether Malakai's happy or not. Because a lot of times that don't seem to be that doesn't matter when you sign a contract.
Happiness doesn't matter.
That don't matter when you sign a contract.
A legally binding form, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I was picking Miro because they got some good stuff going on over there.
But Sting, Darby, Sting always do this. Every time he get on these stupid cards... I pick against him because I'm like, Sting. And then Sting be the one who does the crazy thing that wins the entire match or something. So, I'm not betting against Sting anymore.
I'm picking Miro specifically because he told that blonde lady that only one woman can touch him.
Yes.
And I was like, you go. Yes, you go, Miro.
Them pagans away. I can't root for the pagans. Miro says it with such disgust.
The pagans. Your pagans. That's great. That's great. He's single-handedly putting story into this.
He's awesome. Everything Miro touches has been gold.
Yes. They should change his name to Midas. Jay Cargill versus Athena. This long-awaited Twitter back and forth mess of a build AEW TBS championship match. I swear. If this is one of those times where Tony Khan drops the ball because he had a little too much fun the night before, I'm going to be upset.
What do you mean by drop the ball?
Jade is supposed to win this.
Okay, that's what you mean. All right, yeah, you got to explain it. Because, like, I don't know. I've seen people make the opposite argument.
No.
The thing is about this is that if you would have told me that if they would have kept it going with the way Athena debuted, based on everything we know about her and, like, her history, a lot of people respect her because of what she's done in the ring in the past. I think maybe you could make the case that Athena would be the one to stop it. But they have done everything they could, it seems like, since they've been so inconsistent on TV every other week. It seems like if she does win, I'm going to be disappointed, like you just mentioned. Not because it's Athena, but just disappointed because, one, who wants her streak to stop at 37-0? Even if that is, you mean tell me y'all made a graphic every time she won, celebrating, did all of this just to have the streak end just for somebody, really based on just because of what she did in WWE, because she hasn't done anything in AEW since showing up for the most part to convince you that she is worthy of being Jay.
Have some dark matches, hang out with Chris Statlander.
The tag matches, whatever it is she did, even the promos against Jay, whatever it is that she's done, so far she has not done anything to convince me that she is the one that's going to end the streak.
And she hasn't done anything to convince me that she can hold this TBS championship division on her back.
I'm saying the people who believe that, they're basing it off everything she did in the past. And that's my point.
I haven't seen that here. Although, you know, they don't have TV time.
That's the point, though. That's exactly. The reason why it just seems so stupid, it'd be pointless. And you just wasted all that time building Jade up just to have someone come in. And the only reason why Athena wins here, because I'm not taking away from Athena. I'm saying the way you guys have portrayed Athena, the way AEW has portrayed her, the only reason why Athena would win that match, and you can understand, is because she was awesome when she fought Asuka back a few years ago, Ember Moon or whatever. You know what I mean? That's the reason why. You're not doing it because you've seen her pick up great vital victories week after week and get closer and closer to taking down Jade. Yeah, you can just see that Jade is intimidated by her. None of that is going on. So I think Jade has to go over.
Yes, she has. She better, or I'm gonna be on Twitter.
I have to stop saying do stuff quick.
Yeah, this is quick. Okay, moving on. Jungle Boy versus Christian Cage. Oh my God, I hope this is over. I know it's not, but I hope it is.
Jungle Boy is kind of similar to what everyone's argument for Riddle is the reason why Jungle Boy has to win here. But I think it's more so a lot of people, the personal stuff about the wife and stuff is not as bad, nowhere near. People were comparing it, and I'm just like, I'm sorry. I don't see the comparison. Jungle Boy has to win. This man said that your entire family can die, except your mother, for perverted reasons.
Yeah.
Okay?
That was nasty.
Okay? I'm serious. Like, that, all right, Jungle Boy has to win. You can't say something like that. The other stuff, the personal stuff with Seth, everyone seems to keep forgetting the fact that Riddle went there first. Everybody seems to forget. You said that I'll show you that Becky is the only man in y'all marriage, basically.
Oh.
Or whatever. Riddle went there first. So as long as he go there first, Seth was justified to go over that next line. In this situation, what the hell Jungle Boy do to deserve his dead father through his face constantly? What did Jungle Boy do to deserve all the other comments?
He was just existing, which is unfortunate. I think we're on agreement with Jungle Boy winning. Christian, he can't win this. He just can't. That's a dumb decision. Next up, match 10. Oh, jeez. Wardlow and FTR versus Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns. Did this have to be on this card? Like, did it have to be here?
Unfortunately, yes, because they're the ones taking all of Jay's TV time. Jade and Thunder Rosa when she was champ. That's the reason why. For some reason, on Rampage and Dynamite, week after week, I got to look at Satnam Singh and my guy Sanjay and Jay Lethal just week after week after week.
just for us to find out the Motor City Machine Guns. Like I said, they're going to be awesome, especially when they're in there with FTR. But Wardlow is in this match, people. And Wardlow is not going to lose. He's probably going to pin Jay Lethal. I doubt he'll pin either of the Machine Guns. I think they'll be smart to protect them, especially since I think they can have great classics with just FTR down the line. But, yeah, man, no. Definitely. Wardlow and FTR.
Okay. I agree. I don't have any fight in me on this one. Then we've got Claudio, not saying his last name, versus Wheeler Yuta versus Penta versus Rey Fénix versus Roosh versus Andrade versus Dante Martin versus to be determined for the casino ladder match. Why is Claudio here? Isn't he like, and Wheeler? Aren't they like they're
champions, but they won't. That just shows you again, one, they got a lot of championships, but two, the Ring of Honor World Champion wants to get in the ladder match so he can get a chance to fight the AEW champion. There's no secret who they feel like is number one in that situation. Part of me would like go with Claudio because he's a strong pick. But man, you guys know by now.
It's a joke.
Yeah. I'm not picking. I think I actually got a situation where the Joker didn't win. Right? Didn't that happen last time?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, yeah. So it's possible. It just shows you that it is possible. I think that was Wardlow
who
ended up winning it, right?
Yes, yeah. I think Wardlow that Joker was Ethan. Was that Joker Ethan?
Something like that. I don't remember exactly who the Joker was. I don't want to be wrong.
But Wardlow won.
But yeah, I think Wardlow ended up winning. So yeah, he broke that rule. Claudio very well could. So that's what I'm going to do. I'll give you my pick. If a member of this match not named the Joker win, Claudio. That's what I'm saying going to win. But because I feel like he's the most world title worthy at the time. But honestly, you can have a good match out of any of these people. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't mind seeing Claudio and Punk or even Moxley if DB. But so I have to go with that. But I always say, the Joker is most likely going to win. He's always a favorite. He's a surprise or for a reason. So
yeah, and then people are saying, oh, Joker could be Adam Cole. Well, not people. Dave Meltzer said.
Okay.
I don't put any credibility.
So if that's the case, that makes my point even stronger. That the Joker would win. Because if it's Adam Cole, then he definitely probably would get a shot. Because it would be a never-before-seen situation with Moxley or Punk.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. All right. I'm picking the Joker. I don't know who it is. It should be fun. We've got a lot of high flyers.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. They're going to do some crazy stuff.
Ladder match, man.
Yeah, you got hybrids. You got everybody who can jump around. So. Teammates, so it's gonna
be interesting. Brothers, a lot of interesting things. Next up, we've got I'm not calling him that. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus The Acclaimed.
Swerve and Our Glory is retaining. I love The Acclaimed; they're very popular. Keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Hilarious.
Not tag team champions, though.
No, although there's a niggling part in me that wants them to win, mostly because I feel like they should do it. You know, I'm very biased when it comes to my tag teams. Like, Private Party should have had a championship by now, and I feel like I'm kind of adopting The Acclaimed as like my pseudo Private Party replacement.
Private Party can't even get on TV.
That's why I know. That's why this is a heart. I'm picking with my heart here, and I want that to be The Acclaimed. I'm probably
Never seen Swerve and Our Glory's moves until you watch to see some of the tag team moves. I'm just saying it because they do some insane stuff. But
it's
that's fine.
Nothing against them as a tag team.
I get it. You're wrong, but that's fine. Not about being against them. You're wrong about your pick. But let's go.
I know. I'm okay with being wrong here. I told you I was picking with my heart.
Always a mistake.
Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs. I mean, this had to be here.
I want to pick with my heart. I want to pick my heart here. I love Ricky. I love Ricky.
I do too.
But for some reason, I'm down being wrong. I'm going Powerhouse Hobbs to keep this going. Especially with the factory. People cannot forget that. I don't know exactly what his relationship is with the QT crew, but they seem to continue to want, they keep beating up on Ricky. So I'm assuming that they'll probably do something. They could come in and screw this up. So part of me don't want them to do anything. But another part of me is like, maybe they'll distract Ricky and he'll get spine busted or something will happen. And Ricky will come back stronger from it down the line. But hey, we'll see.
I could be wrong. I'm picking with my heart here again. I want Ricky to win this.
I want him to win too.
I'm rooting for you, Ricky.
But I'm picking Hobbs.
I know.
No, I get it.
Match 14. We're almost there.
Actually a tough one. And a match people wanted to see.
Yeah. That's why I didn't even question, like, no, that one deserved to be here. It should be, you know, a little higher. But there's no championship on the line, so I guess the placement is okay. The Elite versus Adam Page and the Dark Order.
It's tough. Reynolds and Silver.
For the Trios Championship.
Yeah, man. Part of me is just like, yeah, they're gonna give a feel good moment to the Dark Order. It's a part of me that really thinks that, like, because it's a swerve, because everybody coming in is expecting the Elite to do it. But the other part of me is like, it's three EVPs over there, bro.
I know, right? Like,
it's really hard for me to go against them. Even if it would feel good, and it'd probably be like a cathartic story for Hangman them, because I get it. But it just fit, like, come on, we all know the Trios belts were made for Kenny and the Bucks, right?
Yeah, allegedly.
It just feels like it. Yeah. So, yeah, man.
Also, I feel like,
I think the Elite winning.
It's time for some nepotism. They weren't the first tag team champions. Kenny wasn't the first, you know, world champion.
They got the first two times, but you're right. I got you.
Like, it's time to be the first for them. They waited 2 years. Now they're going to grab that brass ring for themselves. As if it
bleeping mattered.
So the Elite.
I can't talk. I love New Japan. Oh, but I forgot. Since they merged the world belt, that's one less championship, technically. So I can make the argument that, you know, in New Japan, about the comparison for New Japan, because a lot of people always say New Japan had too many belts. But AEW, especially if you want to join in the Ring of Honor and the Taz belt, and the All Atlantic thing,
yeah.
Woo.
It's a lot of belts.
Two women's belts.
Two title belts. I mean, two TV belts. Women and men.
Right?
What's next? We're going to get a women's tag? I mean, they don't even have consistent women.
They got to book it first.
I'm too progressive.
They got to book it first. But yeah.
Last up, John Moxley versus CM Punk. The match that we saw it all.
I mean, I don't like it, bro. Even with the pep talk, and I understand everybody loved the little awesome segment of Punk getting pumped up in Chicago. Ooh. And if you in Chicago, I'm pretty sure it was one of the greatest moments ever for you, and I get it. Y'all love Punk. That place is going to be rocking for Punk. But it was so hard to take that man seriously after you know, not only did you just get whooped the week before with the injury and all that, it's like, oh, so you're pumped up. And now your leg no longer bothers you.
Right.
After that one kick. So you mean tell me I'm supposed to believe in this match, as soon as it starts, you kick him, everything's not going to break apart again? And then again, I don't like the angle of it turning into, can Punk still do it type of angle. And I'm like, that was the point of that? You mean tell me Moxley dropped him on his head like that easily for that?
They
could have had an encounter where he did the exact same spot. Let's say they didn't have it as a title match, and they did the exact same thing. Just they started talking, and they got into another fight. And he threw a kick, grabbed his leg, went crazy. Then he got dropped on his head.
Then
Moxley walked out, gave his nice promo. And then you still do the exact same thing, just minus making that a legitimate title match. And you still could have did this pep talk. And you still could have got to this result in the main event. Like, why did they do it in the way that they decided? I don't get it. I won't ever get it. Punk is winning because you don't waste my time bigging up somebody and telling them, oh, you're better than this, slapping them in the face, dropping elf bombs and stuff and all this stuff, just trying to pump one guy up just because they're in Chicago again. I forgot all that is always in Illinois.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes,
so,
guaranteed 1 to 2 pay-per-views always.
Guaranteed. So there's no way. Even though Moxley looked like a badass 2 weeks ago, I gotta go with Punk, unfortunately. Now, no. I hope I'm wrong. Please book Moxley to win.
Now,
I'll take it. Because I don't necessarily want this specifically after the way they decided to do this. But honestly, I think the proof is in the pudding. I think if you do a segment like that and then that man still lose, God damn, you look like a loser, bro. Like, he looked bad. Had the whole city behind him. And then he just get whooped in 2 minutes. Like, nah, it's going to be great. And he's probably going to win again.
I have my pick is that I just have no justification other than I want to see CM Punk crumble. I want to see him fail. John Moxley for the win.
The only argument I'll make positively for that is if you told me, like you just said, after he loses, he crumbles, and then he turns into the real CM Punk, a douche, on television, and, yeah. and he heals it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think he may win this match and heal it up. That. Yeah. So it's, we'll see. Might get a dick kick or something Sunday. Yeah.
I just want to see him suffer.
But yeah, 15 bleeping matches. We're finally done. Tony Khan, why the hell did you decide to add another 6 matches, I believe, or something like that? With a couple days week. Notice. And just, oh, what great build. Just what a great build.
Oh,
let's move on.
You're such a great booker. Okay.
Let's move
now
on.
Now it's time for Mo's Marvels. This past weekend.
Do yours. Do the stuff you was going to do first.
Okay.
And save the other one.
This past week, we've had 2 releases. The 1st of September was our Monkne, our golden Monkne, JK, Jungkook, BTS's Jungkook's birthday. So, in order to step on his friend's day, Namjoon decided to release a song with Balming Tiger.
Not his song.
He's a featured artist on there. I said release a song with Balming Tiger, the group, called Sexy New Kim.
I'm just sick of y'all when they do features and the only thing people talking about is them. It's just like Jimmy's solo track, except this one is legit, well, like that, feature.
But
Jimmy,
also
they just act like the other guy went on Jimmy's song. Like, goddamn, bro, somebody else on this song.
Also, anyway. JK and Left and Right, they did that with Charles, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, whenever they're on a featured artist, they take over the whole discussion of the topic. Now, I just want to say, this song was I did not like
trash.
I did not like it. You couldn't, I think that was the point. You couldn't really hear what one guy was saying. His voice was really deep, and the music was really loud. Like, the music actual was really loud.
To be fair, though, I didn't get, I'm gonna be quiet about it, because I only saw it that much, and like you mentioned, I didn't hear much of it. So, it could be decent, but, you know. But I wasn't really into it.
But nobody came here for Balming Tiger. They all came for Namjoon's weird ass verse. That wasn't that long. He was being disrespectful to somebody, saying they money funny, they fake rollies and a little bit of Rari's, whatever he said. He was being disrespectful. But it was the end.
Rari's ain't nothing to him, basically.
Yeah, that's what he said. He rolling around paper. In his Hyundai.
He got paper, is what he trying to say.
That's yes. That is what. Well, he don't drive. That's why
it's funny for him to taunt people for having a Ferrari. You don't
he
even
got an
drive.
Expensive bike. You don't he even takes drive, the bus bro. When it rains.
Anyway,
he
care about the clouds and stuff like.
No,
let's paint that picture. No, okay, go ahead. No. I'm done.
But it was the end of that verse that had all of the internet up in a tizzy. My TikTok kept getting people to translate it and understand. He told some person, I should pull up the lyrics. Let me pull up the lyrics.
I have to. No, you don't.
I have to.
This is way more in depth than I thought it was going to be.
It started off, but I've learned some things over the past couple of days. So, Namjoon said, let me find it. Here we go.
Sounds like I edit you clearing your throat.
I'm sorry. I try to do it for dramatics. He said, your excrement is sour. Girl, you can keep it low. While you do the ride, I'll color you tonight. Ain't got a DM because you heard about my team. Now, the internet has broken this down. There's also this bike. I'm using air quotes. You can't see it. This bike sound in the background when he's talking about them riding together, but that ain't what it's talking about. He's talking about sex, and that's what drove the whole world crazy, that he out here talking about sex on this song that I guess is not supposed to be sexy.
It's called Sexy New Kim.
I don't know. I'm looking at the lyrics in English. All of them are talking about sex. Like all the whole chorus is talking about we all sexy. So.
Yeah, so
the whole song is about sex. He understood the assignment. And I personally didn't like it. So, yeah. moving on to what I actually liked. So, Shinee's Key released his third album on the 30th of August, a Tuesday, if you will. And I was so excited because I saw Gasoline perform live, and I was like, "Ooh, I knew that was gonna be good." But it's 11 tracks, about 3 minutes per song. Somehow turned out to be 33 minutes in length. But I love this album. Like, at first I was like, one of these songs, I don't think I'm gonna like it. But as I continued on, I love it. And now, when I graduate medical school, I'm gonna make like a collage. Don't hold me to this, because I'm probably lying. But his song "Proud," where he like, "Oh, I made it. I know I'm proud of myself." Yada yada yada. That's my theme song. That's my theme song for the rest of the year, because this was it. It had a Halloween vibe, but not the songs. Only one song had an actual Halloween vibe, but it gave me real retros, 80s, early 90s. He had some Edward Scissorhands references. I bought the album. I'm waiting on it. I can't wait. I cannot wait to get this physical album. I was very excited. I did not waste my money. It was just beautiful. Like, top tracks for me, Gasoline, obviously, Burn. I loved Villain. I was like, Geno, I don't know if you can do this, Geno, but Geno slayed in Villain. Burn, Ain't Gonna Dance. Like, and I already told you about Proud. Like, this album, that's way too many songs for me to like on one album. But this album, they did what they needed to do on this album, and I love it. You've heard the album. Do you feel as I feel? How do you feel about the album?
I'm indifferent on the album, most of it. You know, it's okay. It's good. I can understand. I see why people like it. It's not necessarily my style, though. A lot of it is, and maybe some of it I've yet to give a chance. I don't mind. There's a song with Geno didn't sound that bad, and like I said, at the more Gasoline, I guess you've been playing Gasoline a lot, so. I guess I'm not gonna say I too much care for it too much, because like I mention you all the time. Every time I hear it, I just think Korean industry, baby, because it just sounds similar to it to me. Mm-hmm. But I know it's different, and even some of the synth pop stuff is just like, it reminds me of other stuff. So maybe that might be why I'm so indifferent to it, because I categorized it in my mind as one thing, and I haven't really went back to it. So maybe with time it'll grow on me, but honestly, to be fair, I only really like Bad Love, the solo song, but I haven't really I didn't do like you did and go deeper than that song off that album.
Yeah, because so, I love that album too. Like, Key gets me as an artist.
Yeah, you really like Key, and I'm not saying I don't. I just haven't delved any that much deeper, so I can't. It wouldn't be fair to me to say either or.
Right.
Wouldn't be fair to me to say I like it, because I didn't listen to it all, and I wouldn't be fair for that same reason to say I hate it.
Okay. Well, that's that for the music section of Mo's Marbles. We watched Train to Busan, the 2016 film, over the past weekend, and it was something that I've seen on my Viki, and I was like, it says it's a horror movie, but like, I don't know. Viki needs to recategorize it. That is not a horror movie. I was not afraid.
It's a thriller.
Yes. And, I my heart was racing, but it wasn't from fear. It was from trepidation, anticipation. Oh my God, how can we get out of this situation? That's how I felt about it.
I only wanted to talk about it because I just feel like I wanted to kind of bring attention to it for people who may not have seen it or know what it is, just because it touches on a lot of things at one time. And I was thinking about it earlier, and I was like, this might be the first movie I've watched in a long time where I felt a wide range of emotions were touched on. When mm-hmm. somebody did something that was frustrating, because, you know, we didn't really explain, but of course, it started off all about this guy who just wanted to take his daughter to see her mother in Busan. And so they get on the train, and just from there, things just go to hell. Zombies, and these are not your regular slow brain eating zombies. They're quick. They go straight for the neck, and you turn really, really quick. And it's crazy how they would just swarm you. And it seemed like everywhere in Korea, except I guess Busan, was swamped at that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the time the movie goes on, but. The reason I just wanted to point on it without having to spoil so much and just say
that it touches on such a wide range of emotions. You know, people in the story make you angry as you know, as things go on and you start to see people's true colors or whatever, or as survival, as the survival instinct kicks in, you really start to see what people are capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so it made you feel angry. You had moments somehow mixed in to where things would, you know, you felt happy.
Yes.
Or like funny, like for example,
lighthearted,
weirdly in that situation. But while they were battling through the zombies, you know, it was a couple very funny moments on the train as time went on. And mm-hmm. then you had gut-wrenching moments, you know, things that you legitimately cried when one situation happened, and it was warranted. It made you feel that way. But it was also, as a matter of fact, it was two specific situations where it made you really, it really tugged at your heart, really, really tough. And like I said, it was definitely moments where you were, you know, you may have just looked at a situation and you were hopeful. I know it was times where I was like looking at the scenario they were in. I was like, oh, okay, well, this is how they're going to figure it out. Or they're going to go here and switch off to get on this train and try that. And then that went to hell, and your hope gets dashed.
A lot of things backfire.
Yeah, and then like you said, certain characters start doing things. So then, even when they finally work their way to get together, they get forced to get separated again, and things go left
again,
even more. Yes. You know, so like it just again, it's a very, very fun read. And then all the way to the end, you're kind of like clutching your pearls, so to speak. At the ending
holding
there, and just like, yeah, you're holding your breath, hoping that thing, like all the way to the very last moment, it was basically, it had me captivated.
It was a fight.
Yeah. And I just think I just really wanted to give it props because it was highly rated and it deserved those ratings because it, you know, like you mentioned, it may not belong in like a horror section because it's not, but it's very much a psychological thriller. And like I said, it made you feel almost every spectrum of, like you mentioned, we put ourselves in that, me and you, and maybe that has a lot more to do with us, but specifically in these situations.
Like, what would you do? What would you do to protect yourself and your loved ones?
You can kind of be empathetic and look at the situation like that.
I think that's the underlying current. Like, there were people who were acting rashly that were like, look, I don't even know if my family exists anymore, and you want me to make an exception because your little friend is this, that, and the other?
It was like, it was harsh truths.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
things like parts of humanity and reality that you don't want to face because you think all people would look out for each other, and this, and like every company is a family. It was a lot of things that was like, it was something that you need to see that you don't see.
Yeah. It's also because like I think people don't realize, and I think that's another thing the movie did a good job of, just showing you how quick the survival of the fittest not to go off. Like, things can be normal 1 second, and then as soon as an emergency comes awry, you really start to see, again, like I said, people's true colors and what they'll do to survive. But, yeah, it's a great movie. Definitely go check it out. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I just thought it was amazing because of usually when you go to a certain genre, like, for example, you go to a comedy movie, you're expecting the laugh, you're expecting this.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to a movie, even if it's a thriller or whatever it is, I'm expecting to be intrigued and into it, but I'm not expecting to have that wide a range of emotions. Like I said, moments where you can feel happy, hopeful, you can laugh, but you can also feel terror, you can feel, you know, heartbreak, all of that in one movie. It's rare that you get all of that in one movie. So please, go check that out.
Yeah. And it's everywhere except Hulu and Netflix. So look it up. You don't have to have a subscription.
Yeah, seek it out. I think, like you said, it's on Amazon or whatever.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on YouTube, like regular YouTube. You just have to have ads.
Yeah, so just check it out. It's really, really good. But other than that, man, I don't think we have anything else to talk about. This is cool.
Stream Gasoline, the album.
Yeah, I mentioned that I wanted to get this done within a certain time frame. And this is about what I expected, no matter what, because you can't talk about all the crap that's going on this weekend
in the
justice and give it the justice it due. Like, I could have just came off and read off names. Maybe that would have cut some time.
Names, but with no justification.
Yeah. It's hard to give a just review or preview. But, yeah, this is what we do here. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Mind of Monty podcast. I'll see you when I see you. You'll hear from me when you hear from me. Adios. Au revoir.
Annyeong.